Today we're talking about Misfits, the irreverent superhero dramedy that gives young people great powers but no responsibility. Later, we'll discuss which Indiana Jones movies were and were not the stuff of nightmares. And finally, Josh and Craig stare into the abyss. Will it stare back? That's all coming up on Uncharted Space. Hello and welcome to Uncharted Space. I'm Craig.
And I'm Josh.
And each week we talk about a science fiction show or film or book that one of us has seen and knows and loves and the other has never experienced.
And what do we have lined up this week, Craig?
Well, this week we're talking about the 2009 to 2013 British television show Misfits.
Misfits. I'm not sure what that was.
And I believe this is only the second TV show that I've talked about on the pod. Is that correct?
That's true. We've really sort of flipped the script here, as I tend to be the TV guy.
Yeah.
And you tend to be the movies guy.
And at the same time, we've stuck with the script a bit because the first show I talked about was The Boys, which is about superheroes gone wild.
I'm taking this to Mr. Edgar.
Well, I think then I'll just wipe New York off the fucking map for fun.
Mm.
And this one is also about superpowers being used irresponsibly. The premise of Misfits is that you've got a group of juvenile delinquents who are sent to a, I don't know what you call it in jolly old England, like a center where they don't stay there overnight, but they go there to like pick up trash and do community service type things, and they get struck by lightning. And they all develop superpowers.
Nice.
None of them fight crime or use their powers for good.
What can you do?
I can teleport.
Let's see you do it then. That's shit. You could have walked that quicker.
Sometimes I go further than that.
It is incredibly profane. It is incredibly naughty. It's very funny. And, yeah, if you don't like swears and that sort of thing, it's not a show for you.
I have to say, Craig, so far this sounds very much like The Boys.
Yes, it is in many ways a precursor. It is, I believe this is around the same time that the comic book is running. So it's like that thing where Darwin and the other dude came up with evolution at the same time. What's that called? There's a term for that.
Jesus was the other guy, I think.
The phenomenon of two people inventing or discovering the same thing in two different locations without any contact is called multiple discovery.
So, yeah, so this is very much like a teenage angst show where people have teenage angsty problems.
What the hell are you doing?
It's just pure mindless vandalism.
Are you mentally deficient?
If I was mentally deficient, I would have missed. Check that out. Bullseye.
There are older characters who are in figures of authority who end up being the bad guys. And our group of misfits, they're just trying to do their thing.
If she was so hideously ugly, why do you have sex with her?
Really? Do you know, this is the problem, isn't it? When you're having sex with ugly birds, you're damned if you do, and then you're damned if you don't. I suppose you only have sex with people you find physically attractive.
It's a weird rule that I have.
Well, that's a bit shallow, isn't it? It's very shallow, Jess.
So, I know that certain installments of the X-Men film series also delved into teenage ex-persons.
You running again?
I heard the professor was mad at me.
And who told you that?
A boy at school.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you will take this and turn it into an actual question, because...
I think what you're saying is, on the subject of concurrent discovery, is this show, in fact, borrowing heavily from the X-Men? And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever...
Hugh Jackman clip here.
All right.
Did you ever watch the show Caprica?
I tried.
Yeah. So what you were describing was basically teenage angsty X-Men. it made me think a lot of Caprica, which is about teenaged, angsty Battlestar people.
You might be a good imitation. You might be a very good imitation, but you're still just an imitation. A copy.
I don't feel like a copy. Daddy.
The reason I'm asking this, the reason I brought this up, is one of the things that I did not watch all of Caprica either. And one of the things that I wished that it had done was not move quite as far away from the space stuff as it did. And so I guess what I'm wondering is, do they actually do superhero shit in this show?
No.
Worf are meant to be like superheroes.
I did not sign up for that.
Superheroes. I love this guy. You prick.
I'll tell you the most superhero-y thing that sticks in my memory, and this is in one of the later seasons, is there's a character who has the ability to take your powers, but only if he, well, makes love to you in a non-traditional way, utilizing the back door, as it were. And there's a sequence where he has the ability to fly, and one of the other guys has gone rogue, and so he has to fly and catch him in midair and take his powers.
All right. So what I'm thinking you need to do, you need to mount him in mid-flight, you need to rip his jumpsuit off him, just fuck his power out of him.
Oh, is that it? So I don't need to cook him a nice dinner first or anything like that?
Bloody hell, if you think you can't do it.
I didn't say that. I could do it.
I don't think you could.
Seriously, what a shit idea.
That's about as superhero as they get on this show.
I mean, from everything you described to be about the boys, this is definitely a spiritual precursor, yes. Perhaps.
And as an American, the accents in it are just so delightful. There are Irish accents and Northern English accents and Essex accents. And it's a whole smorgasbord of the improper ways to speak English.
What makes you think that you're better than us?
What is that accent?
Is that for real?
What, you're trying to say something now then, yeah?
That's just a noise. Are we supposed to be able to understand her?
Do you understand that?
So, other than sit around being angsty and shagging in non-traditional ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shagging, good British term.
What do they do in this show?
They have to go do their community service. And I believe one of the issues early on is that they accidentally murder the guy who's like in charge of them. And so the show is kind of like a series of like new people being sent in to be in charge of them to make them do their community service stuff. And, there's other intrigue. There's like a character who's like brokering powers. He can like take powers from this person and give them to someone else. And in the first season, the main character and his whole deal is that he's the only one who doesn't have powers. They all get struck by lightning, but he's left out.
I mean, I was there, right? I should have one of these bullshit powers.
Maybe you can fly.
He's not going to be able to fly.
Yeah. There's always someone who can fly. Check it out.
Don't.
Oh, no, that's not it.
Then he gets killed towards the end of the season and realizes he has the power of resurrection.
Oh, damn.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But not so great to discover if you're like buried at that point.
You buried me alive, you dicks!
It's very much a soap opera. It's all human level stakes, messy teenage, early 20s situations that simply happen to have the presence of extraordinary powers. And similar to the boys, often people die in spectacularly horrible and vivid ways.
Delightful.
Though not as much. Not as much.
Now these teachers or headmasters or whatever they are.
Can we please stop killing our probation workers?
Do we get to know these people at all before they die?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm imagining like a Drummer and Spinal Tap type gag.
Yeah. And they're usually pretty hilarious. You know, it's just this, the classic teenage trope of feeling powerless. But here, of course, they have all of this extraordinary power and yet they still have to go put on red jumpsuits and pick up trash and report to people who are, you know, generally assholes.
Now, I know this is where I'm supposed to make a big speech about you paying your debt to society and making a difference. But seriously, we've all got things we'd rather be doing. Now let's just get through it and get out of here, all right?
Does this group of people refer to themselves as the Misfits? Is that term uttered ever during the show?
I think they call themselves a bunch of misfits at points, but they're certainly not like a branded team. They don't have like M's on their belts or anything like that.
I mean, what I'm, you know, because the Misfits that I know are a horror punk band fronted by Glenn Danzig before he became just Danzig. But they have like a skull logo thing.
This is a lovely moment where each of us are standing on the very far end of the other's frame of reference.
I mean, to be fair, I'm standing on the far end of my own frame of reference. I'm not well steeped in the intricacies of 70s and 80s horror punk.
Yeah.
I'm only aware of its existence because of the famous logo that the band The Misfits has.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie, kind of the first time they tried to do this? What's that Ben Stiller film from the 90s? Mystery Men.
Oh, I love that movie.
They had the M in that, did they not?
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time, but man, that movie is great. It's got Janine Garofalo in it. It's got Tom Waits in it.
It's got Hank Azaria, I believe.
Hank Azaria's in it. Yeah. What a great movie that is.
Is there a character with forks for hands? Or he just throws forks? There's somebody with forks.
So ever seeing as it's your first night and all, I suppose I'll forgive you if you forget. Who's next?
Oh, yeah. It's Hank Azaria playing the blue Raja.
Oh, I get it. So your shovel in his face is my fault.
You threw a spoon at the guy, Jeff.
Now, what was up with that?
Frightfully embarrassed about that. I thought it was a fork.
You're the master of cutlery. You can't throw a knife sometimes?
No, I can't. You can't use a rake sometimes?
No, I'm the shovel.
Well, I'm the blue Raja. I'm not stab man. I'm not knifey boy. I'm the blue Raja.
Who wears a turban and not the first problematic South Asian portrayal of Hank Azaria's, but...
He has a type?
I guess so.
Did they retire Apu on The Simpsons? What did they end up doing?
They retired him.
Like he retires from the Quickie Mart or does he die or does he...
I think they just stopped. I don't know because I haven't watched The Simpsons, like new Simpsons episodes in 20 years.
I'd say it's the same for me, yeah.
But my understanding was that they just simply stopped writing episodes for that character.
I think the last episode of The Simpsons I watched was the one where Mel Gibson goes to Washington.
Oh, I don't remember any of that.
Which I believe was right before Mel Gibson went to Malibu and had a very anti-Semitic conversation with a patrolman.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a flashpoint there. This show I saw on Hulu, this was, I believe, like the early days of Hulu when they didn't have any original content. They were licensing things mainly from the BBC. And this was a show that I watched week to week. At that time, I had a job that had a lot of data entry. And so as I sat at my computer doing the data entry, I would also watch these episodes of Misfits. And it's hard to know now, and I need to go back and watch it, like how much of the joy in watching that film was that, you know, here I was feeling trapped in this horrible, horrible job, doing horrible, horrible work, watching people who were themselves trapped in a horrible job and doing horrible, horrible work, but also able to, you know, turn invisible and do weird things.
You found yourself murdering vicariously through them.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did. I don't remember having a vicarious murder thing, but certainly I think it resonated with that sense of powerlessness and being stuck in a job.
That's really interesting because in that sense, this show is maybe like a spiritual successor to the movie Brazil for you.
Yeah.
Because when we talked about Brazil, you talked a lot about how you derived a lot of meaning from the feeling of being trapped that movie portrayed.
Yeah. It's interesting how we go through life sort of trading one cage for another. Like when we're in K through 12, you have a very rigid schedule where you have to, you know, go to class every day in these little 45-minute chunks. And then you go to college and there's this huge burst of freedom where, you know, you're sort of master of your curriculum, master of your destiny. And then what do you get to do after college? You get to get a job where you are again, not in 45-minute chunks, but in 8-hour chunks sitting at a desk. And that's cool.
I think what we've concluded here is that life is pain.
Life is pain. Yeah.
Well, this has been Uncharted Space, everybody. We may or may not be back again next week. Is there anything else that I should know about the Misfits? Not the punk band, but the show.
Don't watch it with your son.
You know, so he's 8, and I really thought that he was ready to start getting into some of the sci-fi shows that I grew up loving.
The cultural equivalent of adult food from the baby food.
Right, right. And so I showed him some Star Trek, and he liked it. And then I tried to show him... So it's important to know that the thing that he did not like about Star Trek was the Borg.
They were scary.
Which is also the thing that I didn't like about Star Trek when I was his age, because, you know, this is like body snatching.
Yeah. And body horror.
Body horror. Yeah, all of that. And then I tried to show him Stargate SG-1, thinking, oh, well, this is like a much lighter hearted and sillier show. But the main villain in that show are also body snatching aliens. And I should have known, but of course he was not into that and had nightmares about the Goa'uld. And I was like, oh, well, I thought that like funny MacGyver guy would be, anyway, was not meant to be.
No. What is the first thing you remember watching that was like super scary, and you look back on it now and you're like, that I shouldn't have been as scared as that as I was?
Star Trek The Next Generation and the Borg specifically.
Okay.
I remember, I mean, I would have been, this is probably 6 when The Best of Both Worlds aired.
Uh-huh.
And I watched it as it aired the first time, syndicated television with my dad. And by the end of, by like halfway through the episode, I had to leave the room.
Oh.
I came back just in time for Mr. Worf fire.
Mr. Worf. Fire.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, now I don't even get to know what happens. And then 3 months later, we watched part 2. And again, I was just like out of there. And then I kept popping my head back in and asking my dad to summarize what was happening. Because I wanted to know, but I just like really thought that maybe I was going to get assimilated if I stayed in there.
Wow. Do you remember when you rewatched it older and didn't have that same rebuke?
I don't recall having a like, what the hell was I thinking moment with that.
But you did watch it later and sit through the whole thing and enjoy it. And
I must have, because, I mean, Star Trek The Next Generation was aired constantly all the time on
syndicated after school.
Syndicated after school TV. And so I'm sure I would have seen it. But I don't have a clear recollection of.
Do you remember when you were a kid and watching things? You mentioned your son having nightmares. Would you have nightmares after watching these sorts of things?
I don't remember it, but I've had nightmares about the Borg as an adult.
Oh, wow. I remember when I was a kid, I would watch something scary, and as I was watching it, I knew, shit, I'm going to have a nightmare about this. And that was always the case. Like I would watch something scary and I would have a nightmare. And interestingly, the thing that sticks in my head is the time I did not have a nightmare, which was the 3rd Indiana Jones movie. And it's that scene at the end, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie in the last 40 years, where the Nazi drinks the wrong grail and he like gets really old.
Oh, yeah.
You chose poorly.
I remember watching that and thinking, I'm going to have a nightmare about this. And then I didn't. And that's like a weird pivot for me. I definitely had a nightmare when, I must have, I guess, in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Nazis melt at the end of it.
Well, the melting is the one that I remember clearly, although I don't think I ever had a nightmare about it.
Yeah. But him getting old, I watched it. I was scared shitless. And I was like, I'm going to have a nightmare. And it was like the dread of knowing I was going to have a nightmare about it. And I didn't. And from then on, I did not have nightmares about things when I saw them in TV. Yeah.
I mean, for better or for worse, real life is nightmarish enough that.
Yeah. As we discussed earlier at some detail.
So, Craig, this isn't even a question.
Yeah.
I just dare you to bring this back around to the show, The Misfits.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Segue back. Do it.
So here's the thing is that this is a darkly funny show, a darkly, darkly dark funny show that is existential and about all of these topics that we've talked about. And yet it's done in a way that you're going to laugh and, you know, feel better about going to sleep at night.
There it is.
Are you sure we can't manufacture some sort of an happy ending?
Because you know I love them happy endings.
There ain't no happy endings. It's zombie noir, innit?
Okay. I was sold almost immediately as you described this show in a similar way to the how I was with The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Another similar show that I also haven't seen that I definitely also want to watch. Which should I watch first?
Ooh, God, that's a really good question. I mean, if you want to be up with the cultural zeitgeist, watch The Boys. But I got to tell you, like, I'm kind of feeling a hankering to go rewatch The Misfits myself right now. Watch The Misfits so we can talk about it next time.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, my being up with the cultural zeitgeist ends in probably like 2003. So
it's overrated. It's so overrated.
I'm not concerned about that at all.
I cannot tell you, Josh, the level of horror I felt looking at the IMDb page and seeing that it was over 10 years ago that this show ended. Now, that being said, there must have been a delay in the airing of it because I first saw it in 2011 or maybe even 12. So I think there was a 2-year delay on it between to get it across the pond. They sent it via boat.
Oh, right. Yeah. One of the probably the worst thing about living in America.
The only bad thing, as it turns out. Well, Josh, I hope you check out The Misfits. And for those of you listening, thank you for listening to our meandering and philosophical conversation here on Uncharted Space. I was going to ask you, Josh, what would you say, you know, TNG, it's mostly a dramatic show, but it definitely had some episodes of high comedy. What are the like high comedy moments that stick out to you?
Let me think about that for a minute.
I feel like most of them had to do with the holodeck.
I didn't really like the holodeck episodes. And
you wanted more pew-pew?
No, I mean, I think I wanted more sophistication. I don't know what I wanted. But I think the one holodeck episode that I remember laughing out loud at is the one where Q, it's not a holodeck episode, it's a Q episode, but Q sends them all to Sherwood Forest.
Yes!
And Picard is Robin Hood and Q's the Sheriff of Nottingham, and Worf says, "I protest, I'm not a merry man," and
yes,
smashes Geordi's loot.
I love the holodeck sequence in Star Trek Generations where they're giving, again, Mr. Worf the promotion and he has to like go grab the hat off the plank.
Oh yeah, make him walk a plank, that's right.
Yeah.
And Riker says, "Computer, remove the plank."
Yeah, yeah.
And then Picard finds out that his whole family died in a fire.
And that's how you pivot.
Just as delightful.